Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
My brothers and my sisters, tomorrow, as a nation, we will celebrate Memorial Day. Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. Unfortunately, many Americans today have forgotten the meaning and traditions that surround Memorial Day. But oh, how easy it is for those of us human beings to forget. Forgetfulness is something that we, if we live long enough, will all experience. I don't know about you, but I confess that the older I get, the worse my memory becomes. I don't know what you call them, but I call them senior moments. Is there anybody here who has experienced a senior moment? Just some stuff that computer called the brain just is slow in bringing back up, or slow in holding. And some of us have to, if we have to write down information, because if we don't write it down or don't log in our phones, it goes. Am I right about it? Memory is so important. You know, throughout the Bible, God's people are told that there are some things that they need to remember. For example, in Deuteronomy 8:2, Israel was told by Moses to remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. In Deuteronomy 5 and 15, Israel was told, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. In Psalms 105 and verse 5, God's people are told, remember the wonders he has done, the miracles, and the judgment he pronounced. A call to remembrance is vividly heard throughout the scriptures. Just as Israel was challenged to remember the goodness, mercy, mighty acts, and judgments of God, we too need a reminder. Especially in the days that we are living in. You know, as an African American people, we are witnessing a movement right now in America, a movement from white supremacists and white factions and white supporters to remove black history from white American history. There are factions who want to whitewash American history of the presence of black people's contributions. And they want us as a people to forget or minimize the struggles of our past. But New Providence and friends, we cannot allow our present nor our future generations to forget or to allow others to diminish the importance of the black man in American history. Taking books out of school, trying to close down our museums, trying to remove African Americans from public office, trying to take away black voters' privileges. We're living in some tough times. A time where people hope that we will forget what's going on. And unfortunately, it's even taking its toll on Christendom. Can I talk a little while? There are some folk who have the philosophy that if we can keep these black folks shouting in church, we can let them shout all they want, but let them go to the voting booth. Just let them shout. And there's some of us churches who are falling for this trick to keep our people shouting and not thinking. But New Providence, I want us to remember where God has brought us from and never forget what our ancestors went through that we may have the limited freedoms that we have today. And listen, let's just be honest. I purposely said limited freedoms. Because ever since we were brought here to America, we never came with full freedom. Make America great again? When? What point are you want to take us back to? Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. But we need to remember. Tell your person beside you, remember where God has brought us from. Listen. In the verses, let me get to this text. Let me give you a quick overview of the events which precede our selected 1 Samuel text. Eli, brother named Eli, served as the high priest in Shiloh, along with his sons named Hophni and Phinehas. They served as priests. But Hophni and Phinehas were corrupt priests who stole from the sacrifices offered to God. And then these jokers also made it a custom of sleeping with the women who served at the entrance of the tent of the meeting of God. Because of their wicked ways and Eli's refusal to properly discipline his sons, God decided to replace Eli and his corrupt sons. Well, the Israelites and the Philistines went out to battle in the plains of Aphek. When they went out to battle, they lost 4,000 soldiers in the battle. So the elders of Israel thought it would be a good idea to send for the Ark of the Covenant and bring it to the battlefield for good luck. The Ark to the people of Israel was the place where the manifested presence of God resided. So they thought that if they had the Ark with them, that God was obligated to save them from being defeated. And let me pause right here and let somebody know, don't you dare ever think that you can make God do anything. So they sent word to Hophni and Phinehas to bring the ark to the battlefield. Well, guess what happened? Bringing the ark to the battlefield didn't work out as well as they thought. Not only did Israel lose 30,000 more soldiers, but Hophni and Phinehas died on the battlefield as well. But even worse, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines, and they took it back home with them. When word got back to the high priest Eli that his sons were killed on the battlefield, but more importantly, that the Ark of the Covenant was captured and taken by the Philistines, the Bible said he fell backward off the seat that he was sitting in and broke his neck and died. For the next several weeks, the Philistines tried to show off their new trophy, which was Israel's Ark of the Covenant. But unfortunately for them, God wasn't into show and tell. Everywhere the Philistines took the ark, the cities became overrun with rats, and the people in those cities were afflicted with hemorrhoid tumors that were so severe that many died. The Philistines' trophy had now become their trouble. And so the Philistines ended up sending the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, along with a guilt offering of 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats. 1 golden rat and 1 golden tumor for each lord and city of the Philistines. By the time we get to chapter 7, the Bible says that the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house that was sitting on a hill and consecrated Eleazar, Abinadab's son, to guard the ark of the covenant. It was a long time. Matter of fact, the Bible says it was 20 years that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. Somebody might be saying, Pastor Wood, why are the people mourning? Shouldn't they be shouting? The ark has been returned. Why, Pastor, are these folk still mourning and not rejoicing that the ark has come back? They're mourning because while the ark has returned, God's blessing had not returned. Why didn't his blessing return with the return of the ark? They did not return because for the last 20 years, the nation of Israel has been worshiping the idols of pagan nations. Though the ark was returned, the nation was still under the judgment of God because of their continuous sin. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe that right now, our country is experiencing the judgment of God. And as long as we remain in sin and unrepentant, we're going to continue to experience God's wrath in our nation. The nation of Israel were offering sacrifices to the Canaanite fertility god named Baal and his fertility goddess named Ashtoreth. And because of their idolatry, the blessings of God were kept from them. And let me tell you, when the blessings of God are absent from your life, mourning is expected. How can a child of God be happy knowing that the blessings and favor of God is removed from their life. I don't know about you, but I want and I need God's blessing and his favor in and upon my life. Anybody here want God's favor? Look here, look here. After 20 years of idolatry and separation from the blessings of God, Israel finally remembers that they are missing out on the blessings of God. And that is the first thing that God wanted them to remember. And I believe that God wants us today to remember. What should we remember, Pastor? We need to remember that he, God, is better than anything else that this world can offer. Tell your neighbor, God is better. Better than anything else this world can offer. For 20 plus years, God was waiting for his people to remember that he was better than anything the world could ever offer them. For 20 plus years, God patiently waited for his people to realize what they had lost and what they left behind. For 20 plus years, God waited for his people to get homesick for his blessings. For 20 plus years, Israel was under the discipline of God. And the whole purpose of God's discipline is to help his people remember who he is. I'm here to tell you that God disciplines his people in order to remind them that he is better than anything else that this world has to offer. God is better than anything you can get out of a liquor store. He's better than anything you can get out of a bank. He's better than anything you can get out of a crack house. He's better than anything you can get out of a relationship or a friendship. He's better than anything you can get by having position and power. He's better. I'm telling you, he's better than anything you can get from having riches and fame. He's better. Tell your neighbor, he's better than anything this world has to offer. Why is he better, Pastor Wood? He's better because all this stuff in this world is temporary. All your position, all your power, all your money, temporary. Because when you die, You can't take it with you. These worldly, earthly things satisfy you for a while. But in the end, they leave you empty. But I'm so glad that the God I serve is eternal. That is why the songwriter wrote, I'd rather have Jesus more than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. Let me move on. And so Samuel tells the people in verse 3 of chapter 7. He says, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then you've got to rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Asherahs and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only. And if you serve him, he will deliver you out of the hands of the enemy. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the Lord is reminding the Israelites and us today that true repentance is indicated by a change of lifestyle. Oh, come on. Let me say it again. True repentance is indicated by a change of lifestyle. And in other words, you cannot continue to do and live the same way that you have been and expect the blessings of God to cover your life. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Bible says, God forbids. Oh, listen, the children of Israel were practicing idolatry. It was what they did on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. So Samuel tells them that in order for them to reap again the blessing and favor of God, that they would have to rid themselves of the things that caused them to be separated from their God. I know it's going to get a little quiet now. Samuel was basically telling them the idols have to go. And my brothers and sisters here at New Providence, and those who are watching or listening by phone, what secret sin or idol or behavior is a stronghold in your life? What is it that keeps you and keeps me at odds with God? When a man, woman, boy, or girl truly repents of their sin, there should be a change evident in their lifestyle. Can I talk to y'all? I don't care about being politically correct. As long as I'm Bible correct. You cannot be a practicing homosexual or lesbian. I'm okay, Pastor Wood. And talk about you trying to live holy. How can you be living in an abomination and then try to say you're living holy? Oh, y'all, okay, some of y'all mad at me, I know. Can you say that you're a holy person and righteous and you love God and continue to lie, steal, bear false witness? Oh, come on, y'all. Live any kind of way you want to live. Think that you have a license to sin and all you have to do is just say, God, I'm sorry. Tell your neighbor, I ain't scared. We have to preach about sin. Especially in the life of the believer. Because God has called us to be holy. And because he's a holy God, our lifestyle ought to reflect the holy God that we serve. No, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I ain't perfect. But I don't practice sin. If you truly, truly repent, there ought to be evidence of a changed lifestyle. Okay. All right. After 20 years, Israel finally remembered how good God was to them. And they came back to God once again to truly become his people. Somebody say, after 20 years. It took them 20 years to finally remember how good God was to them. Took them 20 years to repent and come back to God. So, since they repented, Samuel said, all right, all y'all come with me. We're going to a place called Mizpah. Now, Mizpah is an odd place. Mizpah was not too far from the border of Israel's constant nemesis, who was the Philistines. You know, the Philistines had just beat them up. Mizpah was right next door to the Philistines' camp. And in fact, when Samuel took the children of Israel to Mizpah, word got back to the lords of the Philistines that Israel was gathered at Mizpah. And guess what? The lords of the Philistines decided that they were going to attack Israel. Dr. Heggie, what in the world is wrong with the Philistines. They must be suffering from a case of amnesia. Have they soon forgotten about the rats and the tumors inflicted upon them by the God of the Israelites? Have they so soon forgotten the funerals and burials that they just had to attend for messing with God's people? Have they forgotten the doctor visits and bills that they had just accumulated as a result of messing with God's people? What were they thinking? Maybe they were thinking that we beat them before, so we can beat them again. Maybe they were thinking that if Israel is worshiping their God, then they won't be prepared for a sneak attack. We'll whip them while they're worshiping. Well, word got back to Mizpah that the Philistines were on the way, and the Israelites became afraid and asked Samuel to pray to God on their behalf. Samuel not only prayed, but he offered a lamb as a burnt offering unto the Lord. While Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines came upon them to attack them. But, somebody say but. But God caused the thunder to roar, and it sent the Philistines into a panic, and they began to flee, and Israel pursued them and routed them. So Samuel decided, because God had helped them, that he would erect a memorial stone between Mizpah and Shen. And he called the stone Ebenezer. Y'all know what Ebenezer means? It means the Lord helps. Samuel reminded the people that the victory was not theirs to boast about, but all the credit was due to the Lord. If the Lord would not have helped them, they would have been defeated by their enemy. I'm here to tell somebody today that you ought to remember and thank God that even in the climate that we're living in, that you have some help. Tell your neighbor, you've got some help. You have Ebenezer. The Lord is our help. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so glad that I can testify that the Lord is my help. He's helped me through seen and unseen dangers. He's helped me when my back was up against the wall and I didn't know which way to turn. He helped me when my money got funny. He helped me when my health got bad. He helped me to pay the bills that were due. I want to know, has the Lord been your help? If he has been your help, you ought to tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my help in present times. And thank him in advance for what he's going to do. I'm so glad that I can lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. I don't know about you, but my help comes from the Lord. And wave at your neighbor saying, my help comes from the Lord. All of my help. Hallelujah. Comes from the Lord. I need to tell somebody, somebody's here today who needs to hear this word. Quit depending on your own power and strength to handle life's trials. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you try to do it in your own strength and power, you will fail. You will be crushed. You will give up hope when all you have to do is remember the source of your help. Our help comes from the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet all over the church. And since I know my help comes from the Lord, I know what he's done for me in my past, I know what he's doing in my present, and I know what he's going to do for my future, I'm going to commit my way. Wait a minute, how do you say it, Paul? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. Somebody cry out, holy. Separated unto the Lord. And he will renew your strength. When you get weak, the Holy Spirit will renew your strength, where you'll be able to mount up on wings like an eagle, soar above the troubles, or soar through the storms and the rain. But you have to remember, you have to remember. God, help me to remember that you are my source. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. You told me that you can and you will keep me in perfect peace if I keep this mind stayed on you. Help us, God. Help us. Help us, God. Help us. Renew our minds. Renew our minds.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.